Today's date is September 9th, 1997. The speaker is Nancy Conger. The topic is touch, the essential sense.
Sense of touch. We really have many, many more senses than five senses. In the Renaissance period, I think they said we had 17 senses. And at another point in history, they said we had 8. It's just a matter of how you chop them up, because there really are a few boundaries between them. And the sense of touch is at least 2 different senses. The one that we usually think of is the external one, where you touch something, oh, that's warm, that's skin, or you touch something soft or something hot, that's touch to us. And we're going to do some explorations of that. So what I want to talk about for just a few minutes is the other sense of touch that doesn't get much press, that we actually don't even remember that we have. And that's, it's called the proprioceptive sense. And it's the sense of touch that is all the way through your body. It's entwined inside your joints, it's in tendons, it's inside muscles, it's wound throughout organs, and it's a sense of touch, but it's all internal. So there's a whole world going on just inside the confines of your body. And you know what's going on because there's all these reports coming to you of what's happening. So I just want to have you try this once. Just from where you are, close your eyes. And I often have you close your eyes because vision just floods the brain and takes over. So keep your eyes closed. And now take one arm and put it up above your head into some sort of shape, just anything. And find a shape that you want to be in, and then stop and hold it there. Okay? Now continue to have your eyes closed. And just observe how you know exactly what position your arm is in. Feel how you can tell that your arm is up, how you can feel that through your shoulder. Notice how, if you had to draw the angle of your elbow, you could. You know exactly how far it's bent. Now feel how your wrist is. What angle is your wrist? And notice, you know this without seeing it at all. Now put your attention in your hand and your fingers, and notice how you know exactly how much space is between each finger. You know exactly where the thumb is compared to the fingers. You know how cupped or flat your palm is. You know all this and you can't see it. The only way you know this is through the proprioceptive sense. Feel how you can see it. Now you may also be feeling some reports from your shoulder and upper arm, like mine is, saying, stop doing this, that's long enough, getting tired. That's also information that your body's happy to tell you what's going on. Okay, now find a different shape with that same arm. Move it around, find another position. Something different, but still kind of up. Okay. Now, just observe again. It's different. You know exactly what it looks like. You're in total command of the body, and it's reporting back to you. Okay, you can open your eyes and let your arm drop. And now just observe how different your two arms feel. That's more information from this sense of touch. It's saying, we were working for about 2 minutes. Don't do that again for a while. I need some rest. It might feel as if they could belong to 2 different bodies right now. They feel entirely different. So that's just a little example of all that is going on in the sense of touch inside you. This is the same sense of touch that tells you in the morning, before you've opened your eyes, what position your body is in. You haven't seen it yet. And you haven't moved around to feel. But you know where all your limbs are. And people that have head injuries sometimes lose the center for this sense of touch and will look at their arm and try and throw it away because they do not recognize it as their own arm. Even though they can see it's attached, they cannot feel it as their own arm. So this sense of touch is what tells you, you are you. This leg is yours, not his. And, you know, this body and this air around you is yours because you can feel it. Okay, I'd like to have you stand up. We'll try it another way.
And you call that sense again?
It's called the proprioceptive sense. It's actually separate, but we just lump it in the sense of touch because right now our culture says we only have five senses. Okay, now just as you stand here, just notice how you balance and you might feel the little change of muscles in your ankles and thighs and knees that keep you standing upright. This is quite a miracle on the planet, by the way, that you are standing on 2 feet. It's really cool. And the proprioceptive sense is essential to us being able to do this. Okay, now, if you can, just bend your knees a little bit as if you were going to sit down. And then just gently bounce. And again, please close your eyes. Cut off that tidal wave of vision. And now we'll put our attention just to what the proprioceptive sense is telling you is going on. Again, you can't see what you're doing, but you probably can feel the change in your knee joint as you bounce up and down. You probably can feel your quadriceps, your thigh muscles, being tense. That's sensors inside them telling you these are working. You feel these on the hike up to Heart Lake, too. You might feel your buttocks tensing and working a little bit as you go up and down. You might feel a change through your ankles as the weight distributes differently through the bones. All of this information is coming to you from the inside. None of it is from the outside. Okay, you can stop and just stand normally. And again, just pay attention to how if someone asked you, you know, if you had been absent for just a moment and then came back to your body, you would know, I was using my thighs. I was doing something. Because it's telling you. It's constant information. So if you go a little too long between meals here at Holden, you will feel a grinding or a churning. That's only because you've got touch receptors wound throughout your stomach. You might feel your bowels moving only because you have touch receptors wound throughout your intestines. You might feel your heart beating when you're very peaceful lying in bed in the morning. And that's only because you have receptors inside that report all this to you. So that's just a little nugget of this sort of unseen sense of touch that's actually very vital to your everyday life, for you knowing who's you. Oh, you can sit down. Thanks. Now, the sense of touch, both this inner sense of touch and the outer sense that we usually think about, is the only one of our senses that is essential to our life. The other senses, you can lose them, and it's really a shame, but you can live a fine life without any of the other senses. But sense of touch is, we are designed for it to be so essential that we will wither and die without it. It's most clear with infants. And tests have been done with animals, and unfortunately, you know, unscientific tests with humans, but neglected children. Any young creature, warm-blooded creature, needs touch just to get going. For example, if you were not to let a mare lick her foal after it's born, that foal just won't get going. It won't. The respiratory system won't start. The digestive system won't start. None of the systems will be triggered to go. Now I was always taught, well, animals lick their young to clean them off. You know, a nice practical thing. Well, why do they lick their young for 3 days? You know, it's clean in 5 minutes. They're licking their young because it's giving this massive stimulation. And in experiments, they've not let mother rats lick their young, but they've made sure the young were clean and fed and warm. And they die. They just don't even start. Now, humans don't lick our young. Maybe. I don't know what your practice is. But it's not a typical activity for us. So it's like, well, then don't we need that too? And what's been theorized is that we have this long and protracted labor as a substitute for the stimulation of licking. So there's this tight squeeze on the entire body and brain and face of an infant as is born, and that's why they come out, and as soon as they can, they suck a breath because they've had what they needed. Now, babies that are born cesarean section have to be rubbed, or, you know, there's the legendary slap on the bottom, some sort of stimulation, or they don't start. So it's clear that the touch is essential at the beginning.
You have the bonding, the emphasis on bonding too, and holding and cuddling.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I get into, you know.
Exactly, but, yeah. That whole stimulation. And that, what you're bringing up, is the essential part for us as we grow. So even at whatever age we are now, obviously our systems have started, but we still need touch for health. It's built in. You've probably heard of that petting an animal will lower your blood pressure. Or people who have had surgery, those who are married or have a pettable pet, recover twice as fast as those who don't. That the touching is essential to the workings of our body to heal. There's lots of afflictions that are touch-related, which our medical community doesn't usually think this way. They like to look for a drug that will cure it rather than something else. But asthma or breathing afflictions are often touch-related. And someone who's having an asthma attack can stop that attack if they're enfolded in a bear hug. That can stop or alleviate an attack. Also, many skin conditions like eczema is often touch related, a lack of touch. And that person getting more massage or just more touch in their life will actually cure that affliction. So it is very built in. We are so designed to be touched and to touch. And anyone who was at the Mark's Song of Solomon discussion this morning knows that it's beautifully holy and lovely, all this touch. It's actually part of our being. Now, one way that we get touch is, like I'm noticing it right now around my ankle, this skirt feels really good, that every time I move I get this brush. So our clothing is one way that we get touch. Also, people, we've developed a lot of self-touching. You know, how many people, when they've seen someone nervous, the twiddling the thumbs. Well, it's because it calms you down, or worry stones, or nervous habits like this, which I'll sometimes do, or just hands on the face when in a stressful moment. You know, it's a common reaction to do this because you need some touch. You need to be calmed. You need to be loved. So this, I'm telling you this as a way to trigger your thinking into how can you get more touch in your life. And it doesn't have to be sexual, it can be. It just needs to be loving touch. So I would challenge you that when you're hiking with someone you like, what if you just held hands for a little while on that hike? Or tonight, what if you just said, can I hug you, to somebody that maybe you don't know so well, and just do that. And see what that does for you. See what that does to your body and spirit, because it will change you. It will. If we had electrodes hooked up to you, when you touch somebody, there's a huge change in your whole being. So that's your challenge. Any questions or comments about touch?
In the East, they use prayer beads.
Prayer beads, yes. Yes. The rosary is also, you know, a physical way of praying. Yeah.
It's interesting that infants or young children will be admitted to a hospital with a diagnosis of failure to thrive. And it usually just means they haven't been touched. They haven't been cuddled.
Exactly.
They might have been given food as needed, but
right.
Just kind of mechanical.
Yes, that's great. And there's a hospital in St. Paul near where I live that now has volunteers that come in as baby massagers. That's their job. And they come in for all the premature infants and they massage and they rub them and hold them against their naked bodies.
It's been interesting in traveling around through different airports to see places where you can get a massage.
Yes.
I mean, that's a recent development.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. It's,
just, you know, the shoulder kind of, you know, thing.
Yep.
But touch.
Yes.
And people pay up to, what is it, $5 or something or more?
Yeah. A dollar a minute, sometimes,
yeah, however
long you want. Yeah, and the resurgence of spas and day spas. Just these, people are craving loving touch in one way or another.
Natural reaction to pain is to touch it.
Right, right. Makes it better. Kiss it, make it better.
You know yourself, too.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
If you've got a painful part of your body, you'll touch it.
Yep. And yeah, and sense some healing there. I'd like you to turn to someone next to you. You need to be in twos. And I just want to have you give each other a hand massage. So just, you know, one of you work on the other. It works real well to use the thumb, kind of get in between the bones. Get in between the bones, just rub and press that hand. An exploration of touch in a way that you may have not have done or haven't done for a long time, and that is blinded. So that you will be seeing through the sense of touch. And interestingly, in our development in the womb, the eyes come out of the same set of cells as the skin. They're very related. Touch and vision are very related. And you will find this out because you will see with your hands. And what I need to have you do is find a partner, but it should be someone that you do not know, because this works better if you do not already have a relationship with the person. So find someone that you do not know and just get a partner. So you'll have to stand up. The shepherd will do is for 10 minutes, lead your sheep person around and just get them near to something and tell them when they need to stop walking and put their hand on something that looks like it might be interesting to touch. And you who is blind, you just touch and touch and feel it. You can use your face, your hands, whatever. And when you are satisfied, you tell your shepherd, okay, and the shepherd, you move them on to something else. So whoever is blind, you get to touch it as short or long as you want, and then let your shepherd know you're ready for the next one. Okay, any questions?
No.
So, you can go, I encourage you to go outside, but you might want to go out that way, not upstairs. And time this for 10 minutes and then switch. So this will be a total of 20 minutes. All right.
That's a long time.
On your mark. Set.
Sure.
Need the sheet.
Okay. It's like this, okay?
Reaction as to what was this like? What did you notice?
She's from Chess.
Okay. I thought that it was really cool, like not being able to see and feeling all this stuff, and you could like feel it better that you couldn't see. I felt like more detailed things. I could feel it clearer.
Yeah, it was clearer, just touching. Interesting.
More attention.
To detail. Mm-hmm.
I was more aware of what under my feet.
Rather than which I don't pay attention to.
Yeah, sensation you're getting all the time.
There's a bird.
At first I was trying to identify objects, and then I said to myself, I don't want to do that. I stopped doing that. I just was enjoying the different feelings and aspects of all the stuff that was on there.
Right.
That, for me, turned out to be more fun. I didn't care what the object was.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Sometimes as soon as you identify it, boom, you're not feeling it anymore, because now it's in another category.
You could feel more the temperature of the air. You could really tell from the shade, sun.
Another big one, kind of like under the feet, big sensation.
Well, also other people around you, kind of like how some animals do, like in water, they can tell how far away things are.
Yeah.
Not just by them talking, but, you know, if they're way far away or really close, you can tell them.
You could just sense it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, big. I noticed the difference when I came in from the reading room into this room. Just like, I could just tell that it was more like a closed area instead of like out, like hallways and things going out of it.
Sensory.
Yeah. That you can tell how big a room is.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. What's yours?
I was going to say the trust that one develops in the shepherd. And when you have a great shepherd like I did, it was so, so caring in terms of, you know, being specific. Of course, this is done in trust exercises too. But
yeah.
But it's a, you know, when you have deprivation of a sense, to have someone caring touch. Mm-hmm. I mean, that idea of relationship.
Is, and it's also interesting, you know, that through touch, it can be the littlest nudge, and you know where that person's going. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very sensitive.
I have to admit that I failed a little bit as the shepherd because I let my charge feel to identify a stapler, and she stuck her finger. Now, when that got changed around and I put the blindfold on, her first thought was, how can I get this guy? She was kind all the way through until the very end, and then she spied a mousetrap in the corner and suggested to me that could possibly be get even time. But
yeah.
She didn't know.
Pain is interesting too.
Well, you know, I guess it's because you had the sight before. Then when you're blindfolded, I had a feeling of being disoriented as to where I was. And I remember this woman on television when she lost her sight, and they were talking about guide dogs. And she said that the guide dog gave her such security, she had no question as to where she was going.
Wow.
So, amazing. And I just, that came to me when I saw that. I thought, where am I?
Yeah.
You know, I, in relation to other buildings and everything.
Right.
She was telling me, you're on the road, you're at the edge of the road, but still I didn't know exactly where I was.
Yep.
It makes me think of that book, wherever you go, there you are. You know,
you just are there. You're on the road, you can feel the road yourself.
I found that I was drawing a map in my mind as I was going. It was not the first thought. The first thought was not running into something.
Uh-huh.
The second thought was trying to identify, but while all two of these or three of these other things were going on, there was in the back of my mind a protective mechanism that was kind of watching out and sort of mapping as I was going.
Yeah, which is a visual
thing.
So
there were three or four things that were going on at the same time.
Interesting. Yeah, many levels. All happening through touch. Mm-hmm. You know, you could map out through
touch. Probably happening through touch, also happening through the proprioceptive spatial relationships.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Well, we discussed something that is another sense of touch I think you need to develop. When we approached the table, she asked me if I could tell what color it was. I know there are studies with the blind, and I've been in groups where they pass cloth around that they can feel the difference between blue and yellow.
Right.
And
wait, because I'm here. It's in this room.
Have we? Okay.
Yeah. Yes, we have. Someone who that you could sense the color.
Right, because everything is energy. Color is just a different light energy, and if you're sensitive enough, you could feel the color.
And I think, would you say you could develop it? Well, all of us can develop.
Right. With great attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one.
feeling covered.
It's that red table over there.
Yeah.
We didn't brush back and feel the blue that we talked about.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Did anyone have surprises? I mean, what was surprised?
I was surprised that I could tell that she told me to touch something, and I surprised myself because I knew it was a daisy. And I look at them all the time, but it just, I was like, I just felt it, I'm like, oh, that's a daisy. I'm like, whoa, how did I know that?
Oh, yeah. Because you usually do it through your eyes. Okay, that's a good surprise.
And the softness of the leaves. I wanted to keep touching.
Oh, nice. So yeah.
And the sense of smell became more acute, I think.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And you do most sad here that opening made a difference in the odors in the room.
Yeah.
But when I came in from the part of I sensed it right away.
Uh-huh. All your senses were kind of nice. Did anyone touch something that you just absolutely could in no way identify? Did anything mystify?
It was a chair upside down. And I suppose if I had used my imagination more, I would have figured it out.
Oh.
Sitting upside down.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be confusing. Yeah.
I felt something that felt like metal, and then it like had like a rug on top of it or something. I can't figure out what it was.
I don't know what it is either, but it was down by the pottery.
It was something that you can't identify even when you see it.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. One of those weird artsy things.
The other thing I noticed with the partner that I had was he was very gentle, very, very careful and very gentle with everything, and not, I don't think out of fear of getting hurt by it. I think it was just a completely different approach than we might follow if we could see. He wasn't grabbing at it, he was caressing it and doing very fine things with it.
Nice.
And I think just out of, it was just natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Really good.
My partner was feeling the evergreen out here, and I told her it was evergreen rather than let her decide for herself, I guess. But her next question or response was, but it doesn't have much smell. So it was kind of like, greenery smells. It should have a smell with it, but it didn't. But we talked about that a little bit. But
Yeah, sometimes we've got assumptions going in our head, and the truth, is different.
Associate.
Yeah, right. That's great. You did well to guide each other around. This was fairly complex terrain here. So it was good being eyes for each other. I also enjoyed, kind of like what you were saying, the gentle way that I saw people guiding each hands, and just the nice touching that was going on as well as the explorations of the blind person. I would like to have you just do one more touch exercise, and that is, again, I'd like you to close your eyes, then you get more, and just, this will be a self-touch. And this kind of touching is often used to calm autistic people or anyone who's having a seizure or who is panicked. Not that we're that, but this is just very calming. So close your eyes and take your two palms and just put them gently on your cheeks. And feel the heat of your hands penetrating into the flesh of your cheeks. And open and close your mouth a little bit just to feel the structure of cheekbone and jaw and teeth and how that all changes. Just feel that through your hands. Now take your two palms and gently cup them over your eyes, so that they are cupped over the eyes, not touching the eyeball. Just let the heel of your hand rest on your cheekbones, let your fingertips rest on your brow.
feel the cup of heat in between your hand and your eyes. Feel that heat on your eyelids. Feel the heat on the back of your eyelids, bathing your eyeballs. And still with your eyes covered like this and your eyes closed, move your eyeballs back and forth as if you were looking side to side, and just feel them move against the back of your eyelid. And feel the heat of your eyelid against your eye. Now take one hand and put it on your forehead sideways. And take the other hand and put it over your sternum, on your chest. Like you were doing a healing on somebody. And feel the heat of your hands go into your body, and feel the pressure, the weight of your hands on your body. See if you can feel a connection between the palm that's on your forehead and the palm that's on your chest. Imagine that, a connection of energy between those two points going right through your body. Pay attention to the hand that's on your chest. See if you can feel your heart thumping. And notice when you breathe in and out the expansion of your rib cage and your sternum. Balloons of lungs. Now take both hands and put them on your lower belly, on your abdomen. Like over your bowels, over your sexual organs, just that pelvic expansion. And breathe deeply down into your hands. Feel the heat. Feel your body expanding and going down. Appreciate the jumble of intestines and miraculous workings in there that keep us clean, keep us moving, take the nutrition from our food. One hand there on your pelvic area and put the other on top of your head. And breathe into that lower range. Oh, and see if you can feel an energetic connection between the hand on top of your head and the palm on your pelvis. Imagine that. Energy going between the hands, right through your body. It might feel warm, it might feel fuzzy. It might not feel like anything, it's more in the mind. And now, you may open your eyes and put your two palms together. And bow to your knee. And just appreciate each person in this room today. Appreciate the divinity in that person.
thank you for coming, and thank you for participating, making yourselves vulnerable. It's beautiful.